Okay, so I say good evening to everyone. Good evening. What you are first expecting me to say is praise the Lord, right? All right. So I'm trying to just not make it sound like church this evening. The young man that just spoke before I came up to this place has actually said a lot. And while I was sitting there, I was trying to realign the things that I wanted to say because he had touched on a number of them. Very major. First and foremost, I'll say that I'm really excited to be here this evening. I'm very particularly excited because for me, this is like home. I mean, thank you. I've worked with the youth ministry in New Covenant Church for very close to two decades in various capacities. And every time I find myself in a youth-dominated meeting, the difference is always very clear. And this is what gives me the confidence that this is a church that has a future. This is a church that has a future. Because when you see young people that are burning for God, then what it means is that the devil has not seen anything yet. So I welcome all of you to this place as you welcome me, and I welcome myself. This evening, I won't take too much of your time again. I'm supposed to speak on a topic called increasing productivity. And I looked at your theme. The theme is velocity. Velocity. What does velocity mean? Taking you back to integrated science and physics. What does velocity mean? Velocity, anybody? Velocity. Now, this is no WAEC, okay? Any question, any answer you give me is correct, right? Please help me here. Velocity, what does it mean? Pardon? Okay. Someone says speed. What comes to your mind when you hear velocity is speed? But velocity is not just speed. It's not a scalar factor. It's a vector. Velocity is speed that has a direction. And this evening, I'm just trusting God that God is going to expand our hearts so much so that we can actually find our direction. That's actually what that minister that just left here was speaking about. The fact that we are living in a world and we have been forced to drift along with the world. You know what it means to drift? You drop something on water and it's just moving with the wave of water. We are not meant to drift. We are meant to move in a direction. Bible says you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk down in it. That is what we have been called for. You know, when I was doing my 21st birthday, one of my friends was saying that one day I will get an invite and they will write on it, please join us as we celebrate the 48th birthday of somebody. And I will get to that place that I've been invited to. And I will discover that it is actually my own 48th birthday that is being celebrated. When I was saying it, it didn't make any sense to me. Because I had several years ahead of me. I mean, at 21, what am I bothering myself about thinking of 40? But right now, where I stand, I'm struggling to keep my life from running so close to 50. And the more I struggle to do that, the more difficult it is. What I'm trying to say really is that this evening, count yourself very, very privileged to be under this kind of atmosphere. I don't know what other speakers that came before me had spoken about, but I believe that if they are spoken by the Spirit of God and they put so much into you, where I stand today, I'm literally asking God, I say, God, can you just take the hand of time back? Make me like 27. But make sure that everything that I know today, I still know it at 27. You know what that means? How many of us have watched Benjamin Button before? Okay, that's a movie you should check out. It's an old movie of a man that instead of growing older as the days were going by, he was growing younger. But the only thing about him was that as he was growing younger, his senses were also growing younger. My point really this evening is that you have had so much, and so much has been committed to your hands. And you cannot by any means afford to waste the grace that God has committed to you. I have a slide, but I'm trying not to guide myself by that. What is this? A bottle of water, right? If I check on it, I think there's a capacity that's written on it. It's 75 cl, right? Sorry, just stay with me this evening. How was this? What's the capacity? Between this and this, which one is bigger? Which one is bigger? It's not a trick question, so someone that is bold should just tell me. Between the bottle and the balloon, which one is bigger? Okay, I have a decided house. If you say it's the bottle, can I see your hand up? The guys that say the bottle, please send a representative to the front. Decide among yourself and let the person come to the front and join me here. Thank you. Can you clap for her as she comes up? Very bold. That's what it takes. Now, if you say it's the balloon, can I see your hand up? Balloon guys, can you send a rep to the front, please? Someone to represent the balloon team. Team Balloon. Yes, please, come. Yeah, thank you. I'm going to make you do what was something that we used to do in secondary school those days, to debate with each other. Okay? Which one is, who wants to convince the other person that the other person is wrong? Right? You want to start? Or you want to start? Okay, all right.
Because the balloon, we don't know the CL or the capacity, but if you are putting the water, it will be expanding. So it actually has the capacity to more than the container.
No. What I can say is that the bottled water is bigger than the balloon. Okay. So there is no assurance that when you blow that balloon, it's still going to be bigger than the bottle.
Okay. Are you convinced? All right.
Okay. The more water we put inside the balloon, get expanded, like to a point that it will still be bigger.
A balloon actually has elasticity limit. When it gets to a point that it can no longer hold the water, it will burst, unlike the bottle.
You had a choice, yeah? Well, you can ask a friend. Let that one come out. Yes, okay, so.
I'm saying the balloon because we don't know the limit yet, but we know the limit for the bottled water. But the elastics and the balloon, we don't know the limit. The more you blow the air, the bigger it gets.
All right, so let me help you. Let me help you. Thank you so much. Please clap for all of them, please, as they go to sit down. Thank you. Thank you. The two of them are actually right, depending on the way you want to look at it. Because, as someone said, both the man that says it is possible and the man that says it is not possible, the two of them are right, the way they want to look at it. But this evening, I don't want you to think in terms of a bottle. The difference between a bottle and a balloon, really, is that no matter how hard I try, no matter what I do, this size will not change from 75 cl. Maybe I should have brought a glass bottle. Maybe somebody can say that this can expand. If the glass bottle is 75 cl, it can only remain 75 cl. But this guy, as tiny as it is, can become as big as the hair that you pump into it. Of course, before it gets to the elastic limit. What I want us to know this evening is that God does not favor any man differently. What God has done is to say, I will fill you to the capacity that you have to contain me. The difference between Toluchi and the average worship team leader is not because God loves him more than anybody in this place, but it's because he has capacity, he has increased capacity to take in more of God. Difference between, mention any man of God, between Kenneth Higgins, for instance, as a teacher, and another teacher, it's not that God takes him into a closet and teaches him specially, but it's because he has capacity to take in as much of God as God has to give him. And this evening, all I'm just predicating, what I'm discussing with you this on, is how to increase your capacity. Are my slides on? Yeah. The way to define productivity is to look at productivity as, unfortunately I can't see it from here. Okay, I have to bring this up. Okay, I can come down. All right, thanks. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, this is more like it. Thank you. Yeah. Productivity for me is the rate of output per unit of inputs. And that is the basic equation of life. Productivity is the rate of output per unit of inputs. And I'll give you a practical example from the scriptures. How many of us remember the parable of talents? That man that was traveling and gave, how many of his servants? He gave three of them. He gave one 5, he gave one 2, and he gave one talent. 5, 2, and 1. That was the input. And when he came back, what happened? He asked for record. The one to whom we gave 5 came back and said, Master, this is 5 that you gave me, plus additional 5. The one that had 2, he said, this is 2 that you gave me, plus what? Additional 2. The one that had 1 came back and said, this is 1 that you gave me, plus what? Plus 0. For each of them, they had inputs, and for each of them, they had outputs, except for one. So the way to think of productivity is to think of it in terms of what you have and what you are able to make out of it. And I'm glad to tell you this evening that there is no one that is seated in this place that God has not given something. The difference between the man that becomes something great and the man that remains who he is is how they have processed what God has given them and what they're able to return to him about it. Of course, the cliche that the grave is the richest place in the world. Richest place in the world is not anywhere else but in the grave. Why? Because in the grave, you have songs that were never written, inventions that were never created, houses that were never built, dreams that were never fulfilled. Because some guys took the inputs, they could not process it, and because of that, they didn't have an output. So productivity is the utilization of resources to yield more resources. And this cuts across all of life. As I said, I want to just not read so much scriptures this evening, but you can take down the scriptures. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. That was the story of one man that was praying to God. If I have time, I'll talk a little bit about it later. Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 4, and 2 Kings 4, 1 to 9. But maybe I should read 2 Kings 4, verses 1 to 9. Can someone help me project it, please? If you have your Bible, just open with me with that, to that. 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 1. I like to say that your productivity is tied to your capacity. As you saw in that balloon, the balloon has capacity to take in a lot. And the much it takes in determines how far it can go. 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 1. Yeah. Verse 7. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and be a bit, and you and your sons can live on what is left." Yeah, let's stop there. What do you think would have happened if, as the widow was asking for more vessels, the sons were bringing more vessels? What would have happened? Pardon? It would still keep flowing. It will keep flowing. And look at what the prophet said at the end. The prophet said, sell and do two things. Pay your debts, and then what? Live on the rest. You and who? You and your sons. Now just fast forward. If that widow had known what would happen, and she has asked for vessels from her neighbors, vessels from her neighbor's neighbors, and vessels from the neighbors of her neighbors of her neighbors. And she was able to fill up all of those vessels. The story would not have been that sell, pay your debt, live on it. Because all she just got is a guaranteed pension for herself and for her sons. She would have started a business in which she would have been employing people that will also be settling themselves, paying their own debts, and living on the rest, they and their families. The point I'm trying to make this evening is that there's no limit to what God can do through you. It pains my heart many times. I mean, I work very closely in the technology industry. It pains my heart many times when I see people that are doing so well in a technology field, and I trace back to their history as well that they don't even know anything about God. Because what it means is that so much money is going to pass through their hands and the church is not going to get any cut out of it at all. You see, the church is not meant to be the garden of the poorest people in the world. The church is not meant to be the garden of mediocres. Because the cattle of 1,000 hills belong to who? Our Father. If anything at all, it should be the constellation of the richest people, the wealthiest in the world, that are able to control the resources of the world to turn things around. But because many times we limit ourselves and we think small, God can't help beyond that. Maybe you have not asked yourself, many times when Jesus Christ is about to perform miracles, if you go back to the scriptures, maybe when you get to them, you can try that. What he will first do is that he will first teach the people. And teach. And after that, he will perform the miracles. What was he doing in those times? What he was doing was that he was just expanding their capacity to have faith and believe what he has to tell them. And naturally, by the time he's performed miracles, miracles will just begin to happen. Over this weekend, which is running up tomorrow, if you don't take anything back at all, let it be that your hunger for the things that God wants for you, let it increase. I think that prayer point that the other minister led is a relevant prayer point that you should just keep praying until God answers you. That God should open your eyes to your full purpose. Very closely, very quickly this evening, I'm going to skip some of these things. How can you increase productivity? And I talk about 8 different things. The first thing that you need to fix for you to become a more productive person is your character. What is character? Character is who you are when the lights have been turned out. Character is who you are when nobody is looking at you. Character is who you are when you are not on Facebook or Instagram. You know, it is so easy to make people believe what you want them to believe for as long as you can post your pictures on Instagram. I have a garden in my house and I've so manicured and treated the garden so much more that if I take a picture there, you'll not know that you're in Nigeria. So I can fool you by going to the place, take pictures in my garden, post it on Instagram and tell you that I'm in Sweden or Norway. Well, that's what I want you to believe. But your character is really who you are when the lights have been turned out. And productive people are people that have worked on their character. You know, your charisma, which is the power that you have to attract people, charisma is going to open doors for you in life. What is going to keep those doors constantly open is your character. You can be a good speaker, but when we unveil your good speaking, what is the extent of integrity that is behind it? As young people, the time to cultivate character is this stage. First thing is character. Secondly, your commitments. What is that thing that takes the most of your time? If you are not able to decide to spend the most of your time on the best things, you see, you are where you are today because of the way you spent your time yesterday. And the way you are spending your time today will determine where you're going to be tomorrow. The only way to walk into a future that does not have regrets is to ensure that your commitments today are things that you want to be proud about tomorrow. Some people can't talk about their past because of what they have expended their time and their energy on. Your commitment is what keeps you going when everyone else is quitting. Your commitment is what keeps you up at night. It's what keeps you on your toes. And as young people, you must constantly ensure that your commitment is something that you'll be proud about tomorrow. The third C, which is also very, very important. I mentioned that earlier. It's your capacity. Capacity is the ability to contain more. Capacity is your ability to deliver. You know, when you write your CV and you go for employment interview, what employers are looking for is not just your talents. I mean, I interview a lot of people. And what I look for when I interview people is not how talented they are. Because talent is overrated. But it's a function of how teachable or expandable are they. If in my interaction with you, I feel that you have come with some kind of hair that gives me the impression that you don't want to take in more, automatically I drop you off. Your character is going to lead to your commitments. Your commitment will determine the capacity that you have to take in more. The fourth C, very quickly, is your competence. And I'm going to pause on this a little bit. What is going to give you the next big break? It's not a function of how long you have prayed. It's a function of how competent you have become over time. How many of us are seeking jobs in this place? You're job seekers. You are underemployed. Don't let me say you're unemployed. You want to change your job. That place that you are applying to for a job. So many people in Nigeria are applying for that job. To now take it further, people outside Nigeria are applying for that same job. So the question you need to ask yourself at every point in time is that if they are going to just make a choice of who will work in this place based on competence alone, am I going to be the best for it? If you're not going to be the best for it, then it means that you need to go back and go and begin to sharpen your skills. You see, these days, nobody has an excuse not to be ignorant, rather. Nobody. Because we are living in an age where information has become so accessible, so freely available to everybody. These days, you can go to a university in America to study entrepreneurship and leave that place to go to another university in Europe to study disruption, and leave that place to go to another university in Asia to study innovation without leaving your country. Because all over the internet, there are so many courses, free courses, courses that you pay a few naira for that will make you more competent than anybody else. To get to that point of productivity where you're not just busy, but you're producing results, you need to invest more in your competence. The person that just led us in praise worship a few minutes ago, if he would tell you what it does to be as good as he is, you will not be surprised that he's as good as he is. Because it takes a lot of hours of exercise, a lot of hours of preparing himself in the closet. And that's the same thing that should happen to everybody. The next C, very quickly, is credibility. And this is very tied, this is very, very close also to your character. Credibility. How credible are you? Can you say something that will believe that what you have said is what it is? Can we hold you by your word? Are you consistently trustworthy? These are things that impact on productivity. These are things that impact on your outputs. If you're in the service industry and we have given you a contract and you have told us that the contract is going to take you 5 days to execute, and by the end of the fourth day, we are calling your phone and your number is not going again. On the fifth day, we send someone to your office and they said you are not around. The next time we need to give out a job, we will not call you again. If you have not worked consistently on credibility, it becomes consistently difficult for you to be productive. Because you will not have sufficient inputs that will give you the kind of output that you expect. If you have worked well on your character, you have developed capacity, you have become credible, competent and credible, the next thing that will naturally follow is comfort. And I put it this way, borrowing from the person that spoke before the worship leader came, that money flows in the direction of value. What's another word for money? Another word for money? Someone that is bold. Another word for money? Money. Cash. Pardon? Currency. That's the word I'm looking for. The word, another word for money is currency. The word currency derives from the word current. And in science, current is something that is moving. So currency or money is constantly moving. And money is moving from the point of high potential to the point of low potential. I.e., money is moving in the direction of value. No new money has been created anywhere in the world. But money is going in the direction of people that are giving the most value. If you search on the internet, on Instagram rather, you see a lot of people that are doing amazing things. Someone was telling me last week of a girl, of a particular woman, who all that she makes is just shea butter. You know what they call shea butter? And she processes it so well, packages it, and is exporting it. What somebody will just buy at 200 naira for an old big bowl. She will package it, and when it gets to US, they pay $100 for it, or $50. All because that person has taken it from that raw point and added value to it. My office will hold an event that is called Food and Drink. And one of the things that makes me excited to go for that event every time is the fact that you're going to see people that are doing amazing things with very basic things. There's a guy now that is called, I forgot the name in the flash. It's called something like Bolly Specialists. And all that he does is the same Bolly that the Mamoni Bolly fries by the road. The same thing, nothing different. Packages it in a very neat carton, puts a piece of fish and pepper beside it, and puts a price tag on it. There's another one that does, you know what they call kuli kuli? And the way it is packaged, kuli kuli normally when you tie it, the way we normally tie it in those days, maybe a pack is 100 naira, right? But this particular one, because it is packaged very neatly and sealed, the price tag on it is 1,000 naira. All because somebody has taken it from the raw form, added value to it, and so money is flowing in the direction of the person. There's another one that I saw just yesterday. What she does is she sells smoothie. You know what they call smoothie? And the fact that she packages it well, has a delivery system for it, I paid $3,500 for it yesterday. Meanwhile, all that went into that small cup, an entire combo, will not be more than what you will buy, maybe watermelon of 100 naira, and you just blend it, and pineapple, and package it well, and somebody's going to willing to pay something great for it. On Instagram, I saw another one. What she does is that she takes used tires that have been used from cars, cuts it off, puts nice clothing around it to make shoes, and she exports it. Tire that is useless, waste, converting it, adding value to it, and she exports it. Tell me, how would the person not be rich? My point really is that if you have followed all of that process and you have put value into something, comfort is going to flow in your direction. Beyond comfort, the last thing that happens when somebody has earned themselves in productivity is compensation. You know, some of us work for salary. Salary is old school. Exchanging your time for money is old school. What people are doing now is that they're exchanging their time, adding value to what they're doing, and they're getting compensation. Because compensation is even at a higher level than just salary. And lastly, to wrap it all up, productivity thrives on consistency. It's not the things that you did today alone and forgot to do tomorrow that's going to make you better. But the things that you do today, you do tomorrow, you do the day after. Someone said if you're able to do something consistently for 30 days, then it becomes an habit. Whatever it is. And the moment I had that, it gave me the confidence that there's nothing I cannot learn in this world. Because all that it takes is for me to commit 30 days to it, and it becomes a part of my life. So if there's that new skill that you're looking forward to achieving, and you are giving yourself the mental barrier that is impossible, just challenge yourself to start it. Continue for 30 days, and it becomes a part of you. Before I round up this evening, I just want to give you a few tips on how you can increase your own personal capacity. Don't forget that I said that capacity is what leads to productivity. It is what you can contain. That's what determines what you can give. The first thing that is very, very important for you to increase your capacity is that you must first take an inventory of where you are. Going back to the story of that widow, the first thing that the prophet said to her was that, what can I do for you? What do you have? And in asking that question, all that the prophet was forcing her to do was to think about what was available for her. She could have said, I have nothing. But her first answer was that, I have some oil. And as I've said before, there's nobody that's sitting in this place that has nothing. You have something. So first and foremost, take an inventory of where you are or what you have. And secondly, to increase your capacity, you must get out of your comfort zone. What is holding a lot of us back is because we want to keep doing the things that we love to do. We want to keep doing the things that are easy for us to do. Someone said, because water follows the path of least resistance, that is why it has become crooked. You cannot go through life following the easy path. How many of us walk out in this place? You walk out, you run, or you gym. Yeah. People that walk out consistently will tell you the truth. That the first time you start any workout session, the next day when you wake up, it's pain all over. And really and truly, that is a point at which a lot of people give up. That, man, I'm not going back the second time. But really and truly, what is really happening at that time is that your muscles are tearing. The fibers of your muscles are getting, they are being strained. And all that you need to do is to do it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. By the time you do it, it's like a fifth time. Even your brain will have adjusted. Your brain will have told your muscles that, man, we had better just shape up. This guy is not going to give up. We have to just cooperate with him and let's just do it together. And that's what makes a difference between the man that is consistently working out and the one that falls off. It's essential to know that to build your capacity, you must be willing to leave your comfort zone. By expanding your capacity, it means that you're actually pushing the boundaries in such a way that it is difficult for you to go back again. You know, the human mind is so elastic and it can be stretched to any extent that you want. That's why one of my personal philosophies in life is that impossibility is nothing. There's nothing that is impossible. If you backtrack to 200 years ago, if someone had told men that one day human beings will be flying in the air, 200 years ago, whoever had said that, they would have stoned the person to death to say this one is a witch. But today, we are not just flying in the air. We are taking a shuttle to space. Not just sending a rocket to space. We are taking a shuttle to space. Virgin Atlantic is building Virgin Galactica. And the aim is that they'll be able to take people on trips to Mars. So we have conquered the world. We are not going to America or going to India any longer. We are going on vacation to Mars. That's the extent to which you can stretch the human mind. If someone had told you that even in this Nigeria, 100 years ago or 50 years ago, that I will pick up something in my hand and I'll be able to talk to somebody that is 200 miles away, would have said it's impossible. But because somebody dared to expand their mind and to stretch the limit of their thinking and to challenge the status quo, today we have mobile phones. All of humanity got to where we are today because someone was willing to ask the question that nobody else wanted to ask. And I'm saying to everyone that is seated under the influence of my voice today, that the next breakthrough that is required for humanity may actually be in your heart right now. And all you need to do is to say, I'm not going to take status quo as it is. To increase your capacity, you have to push beyond your current limits. Increasing your capacity is all about developing what God has given you. And then, God needs expandable vessels. Lastly, before I close today, the starting point really is to ask. Bible said, does any man lacks wisdom? Let him what? Let him ask. Ask of who? Ask of God that gives freely. So the starting point is to cry out to God. And I'm not going to bother to lead you in prayer again because we have prayed. And I expect that you should keep praying. All that Jabez was asking for, what was Jabez asking for? Was that God will bless him. And bless him indeed. And enlarge his coasts. All he was asking for was, God, give me capacity. Just make me increase. Because the extent to which I can increase is the extent to which I can continue. Secondly, I've said it before, you have a charge out of your comfort zone. And thirdly, you have to put on your spiritual glasses. Don't keep looking at the things that did not work in the past. You have to keep looking at those things that can work. You have to develop a far vision. You can't keep thinking small and expect that God will do big things through you. Where is the biggest nation in the world? How big is the biggest nation in the world? Maybe I can ask that. The largest nation in the world. Pardon? Australia, largest? Okay, by landmass. Yeah? But the most populous country in the world. Maybe I can put that way. Pardon? China, India, how large are they? Pardon? China is about 1.7 billion. Yeah? India is about 1.3 billion. But today, there is actually somebody that controls more human beings than the president of China controls. Because today, if you combine Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram together, you end up with about 2.7 to 3 billion people. And all of that was something that was contained in the heart of one man. I hope you know that it's only one person that owns the three of them. All of that was contained in the heart of one man. So really and truly today, if they are writing the history of nations and they are writing the story of world leaders, before they pick, who is the president of China? You know how to spell it, Sha. You don't need to know how to call it. Yeah? Before we pick him, we will have picked the president of Facebook. Because he's even determining the direction of election in nations. My point really is that there's no limit to how far God can take you when you expand your capacity. You cannot be thinking small any longer. And I want to challenge you particularly as young men and women in New Covenant Church. This is not a church for mediocres. Because we are not mediocres. We have the depth of the world in this place. And so we should just take it and take it to the next level. Before I round up very quickly, negative conversations will adversely affect your capacity for increase. So don't surround yourself with people that tell you what you cannot do. I mean, anytime I see those kind of human beings around me, it infuriates me. Nobody can tell me what I can't do. That something is impossible. With the people that I work with, I don't take impossibility as an answer. And really and truly, when you push back, whatever you think was impossible before will become possible. You can't go far if you surround yourself with people that tell you adverse things. This evening you're in the right place. This is the kind of place you should be. And I believe that you're also among the best people that you can be with. But beyond that, even challenge yourself further to look for people that have achieved the things that you want to achieve. That's positive association. People that have achieved what you want to achieve. Read about them. Study about them. How did they get to this place? Every time you expand your mind, something changes in you and changes permanently. Do I have readers in this place? People that read. How many books have you read this year? Four. How many? Three. How many have you read this year? Four. Seven. Okay. I think we should clap for her. Or who has read more than seven? I really want to clap for you. I celebrate you. How many have you read? 10. Wow. That's a reader. She deserves it. Really and truly, there is no knowledge that is gained that is lost. When I'm saying books, it does not even have to be spiritual books, quote unquote. Maybe be business books. Of course, I'm not talking about physics and maths. Yeah? But the point I'm trying to make is that the extent of what to fill in is what determines what comes out. And the kind of authors that you read determines the kind of person you become. So even in choosing books, you decide which books are best for you to read. In closing this evening, I'd like to leave by saying that no one can restrict you unless you restrict yourself. Nobody can hold you back, except you could hold yourself back. Velocity becomes real when a man, first and foremost, is running in his mind. You first must run in your mind before your legs can carry you. Your legs cannot carry you farther than your mind is carrying you. If you believe that your legs cannot take you from here to that place, you can't make it. Nobody can restrict you. I don't know if anybody has added anything I've said in this place today. But if you forget anything at all, don't forget to remember that God is looking for expandable people. He's looking for people that can grow so that he can fill them. And this evening, it's essential that you decide by yourself that you are not going into the grave to go and enrich the grave. But in this place, you are going to live out the fullness of what God has called you for. Shall we rise up on our feet, please? I just want you to pray just one prayer point. Just one. Just one. I want you to ask God and say, Father, don't let what I have become hinder me from the one I am supposed to become. I will explain it to you this way. Some of you have a level of achievement and you are happy with that achievement. What God is saying is that, son, if I open your eyes to what I really have for you, what you have is nothing compared to what I want to give you. I want you to just pray for yourself this and say, Father, don't let what I've become hinder me from what I can become. In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't let what I have hinder me from what I can have. You're asking God that God should just break you away from limitations that you have imposed on yourself. You see, limitations can come in many ways. People can limit you. Your environment can limit you. And you can limit yourself. If people limit you, you can pray to God and God will deliver you. If environment limits you, you can pray to God and God can change your environment. But if you limit yourself, it becomes difficult for you to get out of it. I want you to ask this evening and say, Father, you will help me that what I have become will not keep me from what I can become. Some of you are born with silver spoon in your mouth. You have never known what it means to suffer. Your parents have always made a way for you. That is good. All that your parents have done is to give you a springboard. If you rest back and say, because my parents can always sort things out for me, and you don't press further, then you limit yourself finally. I want to just ask God and say, Father, don't let what you have given me keep me from what you want to give me.